In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, we've been together for just over 2 years now, you all and I. And in that time, you've heard plenty of stories about Grandma, right? Normally, I talk about Grandma Wilma, my mom's mom, the one who was prolific at all things church, right? One of the first female elders in the Presbytery of Detroit, treasurer of that presbytery for 19 years, synod and general assembly commissioners representing that church. She used to teach classes to teach people how to pray. She was fundamentally foundational in the starting of what is now the Presbyterian Investment and Loan Program, which is a general assembly program for offering churches loans to do things like, you know, fix their building. But this scripture reading today reminds me of my other grandma, Grandma Jo. Not the most churched person. She used to say that she didn't go to church because when she was growing up, she was sent to church. Her father was the rural route postman up in Marion, up in northern Osceola County. And so Sunday was his day off. And so he and great-grandma would stay home and would send Grandma and her brother and sister down the street to the Methodist church, get them out of the house for a while. As an adult, she didn't go to church. That just, it was what it was, and it is what it is. She taught me many, many things. And until the day when Alzheimer's took her mentally from us, her choice phrase about really just about anybody, the good person, was that they're just the salt of the earth. Your other grandparents, they're just the salt of the earth. Oh, the mayor, oh, he's just the salt of the earth. Oh, your Uncle Steve, he's just the salt of the earth. Oh, Aunt Jackie, well, she's a saint, right? It wasn't until I got more into the training, right, the seminary training, that I really spent some time with Matthew 5 to figure out what exactly it was Grandma was saying, because I knew from her tone of voice it was a good thing. When she called somebody the salt of the earth, boy, that was high praise from Grandma Jo. But what did it mean? See, when Jesus says that, and he says to them, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says to his gathered throng, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It can't, right? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus continues, you are the light of the world. And as an example, he says, a city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In this same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. See, what Jesus taught and Grandma taught vicariously was that we each have a purpose and a specific part to play. When we think about salt, this is nice. It comes in a little shaker container. These are the ones you get from Gordon Foods. You don't have to refill them. Right? I have a collection of salt and pepper shakers. The ones I use all the time are the old vintage cut glass ones with the little silver tops, right? When you think about salt, what do we use it for? What do we use salt for? We use it to season things, right? We use it to enhance the flavor. For whatever reason, my grandmother, the other one, Grandma Wilma, taught me to put salt on cantaloupe. If you shouldn't have bought the cantaloupe because it was too hard and it's not ripe, you put a little salt on it and it sweetens it up. It brings out the sweetness. Dad Brostrom puts salt on his apple slices and watermelon, which I really don't understand, but that's neither here nor there. We use salt to season things and to bring out the flavor. Back in the day, before refrigeration became a common thing in your household, you used salt to preserve things, right? You read Little House on the Prairie and they talk about the salt pork, right? The salted pork fat. They'd salt things down. They'd brine things, which brine has a whole lot of salt in it. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, he's not talking about you being some white rock that they dug out from underneath Detroit. He's not talking about you being this thing in this shaker here. He's talking about your role being one in which you bring flavor to things and you enhance the flavor of life in the gospel. It is our job to preserve the gospel, knowing full well that the gospel is only one generation away from extinction. He goes on and says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. This is one of those fancy LED light bulbs. This is in my lamps at home. This is a 60 watt, which apparently only uses about 9. And it's bright, and it works well for having to see things, and especially when my eyes get tired at night. This is the reminder that we are the bearers of the light. You are the light of the world, right? The one who was born to bring the light and to bring light to the people who sit in darkness then gives the commandment to us. He gave it to the people sitting there listening to the Sermon on the Mount. It goes on generations later and is now our calling. We are the light of the world. And just like the salt being the one that preserves the gospel and brings flavor to things, it's us as light of the world that shines the light in the darkness. It is our job to not hold on to the light. We don't have God's light and keep it covered up, right? No. We put it out for everybody to see. So that's where we then get to our third point about the fast. We go over to Isaiah, and we talk about what Isaiah had to say to the people Israel. This is Isaiah 58. We are in, let's see, are we the end of 2nd Isaiah or the beginning of 3rd? Doesn't really matter. These are people who have been in captivity, who have been exiled. They have not done what God has wanted them to do, and Isaiah is reading them the riot act on behalf of God, right? And he says, shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. This is God speaking. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. God is saying, I see you, and I know what you've done. And he continues, yet day after day, those people seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. And they say, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Those are the people talking back to God. And God says, look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Pause. What he's saying is you're fasting for the wrong reasons. You're going about it the wrong way. You are laying there in your sackcloth, in your ashes, and you're bowing your head, and you're saying, oh, woe is me. See how I'm fasting, God? I'm fasting. Are you going to listen to me now? It's not what he wants. And he continues, God continues through the voice of Isaiah. And he says, is not this the fast I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Is it not to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Is it not to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself? And he continues, then, when you do those things, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. See, it's a problem that's been going on for millennia. Generation to generation. This is not new problems, folks. The problems we face today are not new by any stretch of the imagination. Back in Isaiah's time, they had an issue. Well, we're doing all of this. Why aren't you answering me? Which is when God speaks through Isaiah and says, except you're supposed to be doing this, right? And it's when generations later, and Jesus tells the people gathered, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. This is your job. See, we get tied up, I think. We get tied up in what we think we're supposed to be doing, right? We get worn down with everything we think we're supposed to be doing without ever going back and saying, are we on the right path? Without ever remembering that it's our job to be a little preserving and to bring out a little bit of flavor. See, the truth of it is this, that there are some people in our world whose only representation of the love of God is what we go out there and show. And so if you have put your personal salt shaker away and you are not sprinkling the gospel in your daily living, or if you have unscrewed the light bulb from your fixture so that it's not lit up, right, and you are hiding that this is where you are on Sunday mornings, and you are ignoring the fact that, you know, that other blue book that's not our hymnal is kind of key in your life. If you aren't living the gospel Monday through Saturday, or shall we say Sunday afternoon from about 1 o'clock onward to Sunday morning at about 10:15, then you're not doing what you've been called to do. See, it's going to take us, the faithful people, to remember that we are people of faith. And it's going to take us living into that and being, one, being intentional about it, but two, not being the see me, because that's not what it's about. And if we can remember in our daily living, if we can remember in our everyday lives and the things we do when we are not gathered in this space reflect what we learn when we are here, then I think things are going to start to change. Here's what's going to happen. People are going to remember who their God is. Maybe not remember. Maybe they'll learn for the first time. It is our responsibility as members of the body of Christ to share the gospel, to spread the light of God, to share and live and lead by example, being the salt of the earth. It's a tall order. Oh, it's not easy being this. It is not easy being a faithful person, especially when you walk out of this door and there are so many people who are willing to tell you that you should believe this and you should follow that and you should believe this and listen to this and blah, 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 blah. Can you hold on to the fact that you are supposed to be a beacon of God's word? Can we together encourage each other in the love of Christ, in maintaining who we are and whose we are? Not only while we are here, but also while we are out in the world. Our culture and our society is looking for people to lead them. And friends, let's face it, we follow the kid in the manger who became the man on the cross. 33 years. That's all he walked this earth as a human being. 33 years, right? In 33 years, he set down a process and a goal and a life and a path for us to follow generations later. And I think it's high time we started doing it. And not in a way that says, oh, see me, I'm being such a good Christian, but in, oh, see God, because if it wasn't for God's leading, I wouldn't be here, and all the work I'd do would be in vain. When Grandma called people the salt of the earth, she never said it to them. She never once looked at me and said, Christina, you're the salt of the earth. She never once looked at my mother and said, oh, Sandy, you're the salt of the earth. She'd look at other people. She'd look at other people. She'd tell people that my mother was her favorite daughter-in-law. And, oh, she's just the salt of the earth. It's not about puffing yourself up, right? It's about naming what you see. It's about being that one who leads by example. And what Grandma set forth as an example, and what God sets forth as an example, is that it's not about us. It's about him. It's about the one who called us into being. It's about the one who put us on the path, who gave us the light and made us, pun intended, a little salty, right? Go forth and shine. And remember, you are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness, right? Thanks be to God. Amen.